Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, again for this precious spirit that is over your people. God, we're so thankful that it's your truth and love that deals with us. God, we're here to magnify your Son. And thank you for all the goodness that is in your Son. Lord, the love and the peace and the rest and the confidence and the faith and the power. Lord, we're so grateful that that life lives in us because of the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, today we're so thankful as we think upon these sweet mothers. And Lord, we do. We just ask a special prayer today to encourage their hearts. God, to make them strong women of God. Strong in faith. Great in hope. Quick to believe. Lord, patient, long-suffering, meek, and Lord, with a heart that just wants to receive from you. Now, Lord, strengthen these women. Lord, we're in a day that it's difficult. But Lord, we know that the power of your might is for us. And Lord, you're a quickening spirit, Lord, and raise these women up. Lord, let them be magnificent in the sight of God. Help them to turn from the things of this world, Lord Jesus. And Lord, let them just embrace the grace and hope and greatness that's in the beauty of the Savior. Lord, we're thankful today that you bring us here. We're expecting from you and you alone. And may we magnify and praise. And in that name we say, praise you, Jesus. Amen. Thank God. Well, if you'd open your Bibles with me today, we're going to go to the book of Exodus and we'll begin reading. Very familiar story, and I hope you have your Bibles because it's one of the best. There in chapter 1, we're going to read a little Moses, praise God, drawn out. That's what his name means, drawn out. Aren't you thankful that God drew you out? Praise his wonderful name. We'll pick it up. Exodus 1, we'll begin reading from verse 7. And we're going to do quite a bit of reading. It's so wonderful to read the Word of God. I'm thinking more and more as we get sometimes into these services, we're reading more and more of the Word of God. We'll praise His name. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty. That's quite a mouthful. And the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Remember how great Joseph was in the kingdom of Pharaoh, and see, they forgot about him so quickly, didn't they? What can you do for me today, huh? And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. Boy, listen to the Word of God for your life. Praise God for the afflictions. That's when you'll multiply and grow up. Praise His name. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all the manner of the service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one of them was Shephra, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women. Remember that, women. You're not as the women of this world. You're God's women. Praise His name. And you're not like them. For they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. We'll go on to chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to the wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself as the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said the sister of Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. Isn't that wonderful? She didn't know who the mom was, but I'm telling you, God sure did. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, drawn out. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Mothers have always been called upon to do the impossible. Do you know that? Mothers understand this, and I'm so grateful to God. I am kind of, I don't know how to really say it, just in awe of what the Lord has done in moms today. I'm just so thankful. I see in my mom, and I also see in my wife, and I don't mean to embarrass her, but I am so thankful to God for the godly woman that my boys have been given. I'm so thankful for the love of a mom and the caring hand of a mother. And even when she is not appreciated, even when she is rejected, even when sometimes she is not wanted, and as sad as moms can be, they still stand in the gap. And they just love their children. And I am so thankful to the Lord for moms. But they've always been called to do the impossible. And the impossible really has never changed. And that's to trust God for their children. Come on now, be honest. To really trust God for your child is really almost an impossibility, but for the grace of God. And if you think today's world that we live in is any safer than that of the day of baby Moses when he was placed in the basket on that Nile, I'm going to tell you something. You're fooling yourself. You're not living in reality. See, the Word of God says the evil of man will wax worse and worse. And even though there may be comforts, even though there may be a type or some type of a shadow that you think of something getting better in this world, it's not. It said that the evil of man will wax worse and worse. And I'm going to believe the Word of God, and then I'm always going to be always encouraged that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me tell you something. As the Word of God encourages us, the impossible is accomplished every day the very same way by faith. Realizing, brothers and sisters, that Jehovah is glorious. And that's the name Jochebed, by the way, is Jehovah is glorious. Jochebed, the mom of Moses. Isn't that wonderful, sisters? Have you realized that Jehovah is glorious? He's just beyond finding out. He's just forever faithful. That I can take my baby when he calls me, and I can set him in a basket in a river, knowing that man is wanting to kill him, but God has told me to lay him in the ark. Lay him in the ark and trust God for your child. Brothers, I hope you're listening, because I sure am. Now, no matter how evil the environment may seem, nothing is hard for God. Nothing is hard for God. Nothing's too hard. I appreciate the Word of God said that, but my goodness, Lord, this is what we're talking about, is you, the one who set the stars in heaven. By your words, everything spins, everything's created, everything consists, and everything holds together. And yet here I am to say to you, Lord, My son is too difficult for you? My daughter is too out of control for you? Put them in the ark. Put them in the ark. Brothers and sisters, he can raise up a Moses and he can raise up a Joseph right in the midst of an ungodly world. And may we too be as those midwives and fear the Lord. That means be in awe of God and his omnipotent power. And don't fear man. Don't fear this old world. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Praise God. I take him everywhere I go. How about you? He's just there. Even sometimes when I'd want to get away, he's still there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Now, moms, you are monumental, and I want you to know this today, in supplying faith to your children. God will always, always make the way out of a no way for you. Whether your son is raised in the home of an ungodly Pharaoh, or as tonight we're going to talk about little King Josiah. What a wonderful little king he is. And he was raised under a home of an ungodly dad. So whether it's in a Pharaoh's palace or even if there's an ungodly dad, yes, even without the support of a husband, sisters, even when a husband is even against the things of God, a praying mom will always prevail. Know it. I pray God allow you to make good choices, young ladies, and seek out a godly man. But if that didn't happen, trust the Lord. It's time to trust the Lord. It's time to pray. And by God's grace, he will prevail for your home. He is faithful. I don't care how many times you have turned away. I don't care how many times you have neglected the call of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, he hears you. I've quit trying to figure these things out. I don't understand how each and every one of us, by God's infinite grace, has even got here today. All of the mistakes, all of the sin, all of the botches, all of the absolute defiance, brothers and sisters. Yet he brings us in his faithfulness to worship him. It's absolutely amazing. There is none too wicked. His blood has covered all sin. And he's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. You don't get right first. You just come. His blood makes you right. His blood, his love is the acceptance, brothers and sisters. And we go boldly in there. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, it's wonderful. But see, this little Josiah, and I got to talk about him just a bit. He was 8 years old, just a little boy. His father was so wicked. He was born into that. Just think, he had no choice. He was just born. His dad was a king that had idols everywhere in the temple. Sorcery, mysticism, all of the things of God and of Christ were taken out of that temple. There was no thought of God. But God had a secret weapon for Josiah. He had a godly mom. He had a godly mom. And her name, it was so precious what her name is Jedidiah. And that means beloved. And then God had a double portion set in there. She had a mom, a grandma for this little man. And her name, oh my goodness, was Adiah. And I'm telling you, you get these two ladies working together by God's grace. And I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. But that Adiah means adorned of Jehovah. So he had adorned of Jehovah, and he had beloved working for him in his corner. And I'm going to tell you something. God's always got it stacked, doesn't he? Hallelujah. He does. He's for you. Do you realize that? He is so for us today. Let me tell you something. It is finished. If God be for you, your enemies are toast. I just love it. I'm so thankful to God that he encourages me that way. Let him speak to you. I don't care what kind of vernacular he uses. Let him use the word of God and know that his wicked dad did not stand a chance. His dad was dead at the age of 24, and God called this little 8-year-old boy to be a king. He wasn't going to put up with it anymore. Listen, God's not going to be mocked. It's time to observe the calling of the Lord, brothers and sisters. It's time to turn. And it's time we get on our knees and we worship Him in His faithfulness. Now, brothers and sisters, Timothy in the Word of God, he had a mom and dad too. I mean, a mom and a grandma too. Full of faith. And the same faith was in Paul, the same faith Paul saw that was in Timothy. Women all throughout the Word of God, instrumental in building the sons and daughters of the Lord. Sisters, know who you are in Christ and know how precious you are to your family and how absolutely vital you are to your family and what the Lord wants to use you in for your family. And here's the thing I was thinking about little Timothy. It wasn't just that mom got him into Sunday school every single Sunday. That's a wonderful thing. But it was that mom was full of faith first. Mom received the Word of God. Grandma received the Word of God. You have to have something before you can give it out. It's not enough just to direct and say, well, go here. Brothers and sisters, just like in James we're reading, there's a testimony going on. And God help us that that's the evidence of the greatest encouragement that we could ever give to one another is Christ in me and letting it show forth faithfully. I'm not talking about your filthy righteous good works. Huh? I'm not talking about yours. I'm talking about faith which worketh by love working in you. That's the beauty of it. When you're a mom that sits there and you love through all of the stuff that's unlovable. Come on now, you know what I'm saying. When husband came home and he wasn't acting right and he was just out of sorts. But mom still came in and she brought food to the family. And she covered the sin. And she said, honey, daddy might be just sick. Daddy might not be feeling well. I don't know what it is. But to bring love into your home. And when your babies act up and when they start fussing and they start going in ways and directions that they shouldn't go, that you stand. That you don't make deals with your kids. You don't say, well, if you do this, mom does that. Oh, no. You stand and withstand. And having done all to stand, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. God's for you. I know you're weary. I'm a dad. I see my wife. I'm so thankful. And she's in it 24/7. I want to be in it 24/7. But there's something special about moms. I think it happened somewhere in the garden, sisters. I'm going to tell you that. There was a lot put on you at that moment, wasn't there? Yeah. It's a great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Stand in the gap. Don't be moved. Let me tell you something. We're not looking for short-term gains. We're looking for the long-term inheritance. Stay in prayer. Don't give up. Don't let this world get you down. Let me tell you something. You've got a Savior that's risen. Now the women, I'm telling you, in the Word of God, and as this sweet mom, Jochebed, she believed God for her own life. And believing God for your own life, you become a virtuous woman. And it says in Proverbs 31 that your household is covered in scarlet. It's so precious how the blood covers you. The blood, there's nothing, all power is in the blood. There's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus. It represents everything. God's love for you. But her children, because of that, and they will, I don't care if they're not doing it now, they will rise up and call her blessed. I don't care if your husband's not doing it now or not. He will rise up and praise you. You stay in the things of God. Don't look to the left or to the right. You just fix your face upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. You will reign in victory. You will. You'll turn the hearts, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, it will happen. God is for you. There is nothing greater. There is nothing more precious. And I pray, ladies, it be the satisfaction to your soul to have your children rise up and call you blessed. I see some pretty satisfied mamas out here. Praise His name. And I'll tell you, You that have gone that path, ladies, encourage those young moms. There's no newfangled way. That newfangled way is a way of destruction. The newfangled way brings up the generation that God's going to have to destroy. And I believe it is here. I am sad, but boy, am I looking up. I am looking up. You see, this world, so desperately, because it's the enemy. Remember, this is principalities and spiritual wickedness we're talking about. It's not people, it's just the enemy. That's his business, all right? But this world is trying so desperately to tear down God's divine structure in the home. So subtly he tries to do it. And he tries to do it because, well, we're in a new age. This is our new society. This is how things work. This is how things work. This is the will of God. This is how things work. This is the will of God. It is never changed. It is always the same. Always the same. I see moms spending time away from their children. God help you, sisters. God can strengthen you. Quit trying to keep up, as Brother Hill used to say over and over, with the Joneses. I'm telling you, sometimes that step back that you don't want to take is the greatest leap forward that you could ever take in your life. You're missing the glory because you think that you need something in this world that makes your family more happy. Brothers and sisters, be content with what God gives you, what God wants for you. Quit reaching up a ladder when, I'm telling you what, you've got wings. You don't need to be climbing. You just need to be soaring. I pray we get this, brothers and sisters. This is God's work. Get rid of these natural eyes. Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Let me know the hope of your calling for my life. It's a wonderful thing. You start letting go of the things of this world and you will fly. Those are just weights that weigh you down. Got to stay with this, but I tell you, I don't know where he's going to go with it today. But moms and dads, listen to me. Spend time with your children. Spend time with your children. Raise your children. And never stop raising those children. Always be ready to have a cold cup of water to deliver to a child. How wonderful. And then moms that might be trying to seize control as the head of a home. God help you. God help you. See, this world likes to make a lot of things seem right. This world wants to make things feel normal. Really. The devil is the greatest one at trying to bring convenience to your home. Convenience will destroy you. Convenience to your stubborn will absolutely be destruction in your home. Convenience to the things that you think is the way that your household should work, if it's outside of the will of God, it's a mess of pottage. Brothers and sisters, please listen to this. No matter how good you think that you've got it going on, a house that is built upon the sand is going to wash away. A house that is built with a bunch of wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn. And the loss, it hurts my heart. Don't let the devil rob you. Don't. How many times have we sat in this place? Don't miss the best part for your life. It's not in things. It's not in things. It's sitting right there in the life of your child. Your spouse. Really realize this. Christ in me. The beauty of Christ in our home. Christ that we share. Don't miss the best part. But brothers and sisters, even if we're in these things right now, that doesn't have to be us. Do you know that? Them just lies, aren't they? See, I love how the Lord puts sermons together. See, the devil's just the author of lies. And as I've said many times, a lie isn't true. It never happened. Really think about that. A lie did not happen because it was not the truth. You have to go noodle that around in your heart sometime. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't have to continue on that way. No matter how long this has been going on in your home, turn now to the will of God. The Word of God tells us to repent, to submit, and to receive. Absolutely. It does not need to be going on and on and on. And I know how the enemy does this, no matter what it is in your life. He'll say, well, it'll never change. You might as well just give it up. There is no chance for change. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You keep going on in the way you're going, it will never change. As a matter of fact, it will get worse. Absolutely. Sin begats sin. Chaos begats chaos. Whatever you want. But glory begats glory. And one step towards the kingdom, the beautiful thing is, I'm there. It's so beautiful in the name of Jesus. So one step, bang, I'm there. He's for me. In the name of Jesus, He is for me. Romans 8:28 is alive and well. It's never been missing. It will take all of those things. Sure, there's consequences to my wicked ways. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how He does it. But He takes all of that stuff and He works it together for your good. He's the most marvelous God. He's done it in my life over and over and over again. All of the things I wished I had not done. Yet the one moment of yielding to God, He takes all of that. And He says, watch my masterpiece now, honey. Watch me take a man that took a wife that wasn't his and killed her husband. And let me show you how He is the man after my own heart. Let me show you how He's the King that sang praises to me like none other. Let me show you this man that went and persecuted the Christians and took them little ones out of the house and had them killed and all of that. And I'm going to show you He's the chosen vessel for me. And I'm going to show you that He's going to be the one that's going to take the full counsel of God and He's going to bring it forth. And He's going to suffer many things for my name's sake. But at the end, He's going to say, I count it all but dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, that's who's working for you. That's who's got you. Paul's not any different. He said, not unto me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. That's as simple as it is. What are you loving today? That's where your heart is. You know it. What are you thinking about right now? I pray you'd be thinking about the Word of God. I pray it would captivate you. Even if, well, my goodness, we've been going on a little bit. Don't look at the clock. But it's a sweet time. See, I don't know. Time shall be no more. With God, it just doesn't. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not just up here babbling. This is the Word of life. Brother, this and sisters, this is God's divine Word. And even if for the last half hour you've been somewhere else, check in now. It's never too late. Wonderful. There are many times I slept on a pew and got up with 3 minutes to go. And God struck deep in those 3 minutes. I can't serve Him. Only His grace in me can serve Him. All right. Let's wrap it up. We are as Moses in Egypt. Know it. These are types and shadows. Nothing's changed. We are as Moses in Egypt. And just like old Moses, most all God's precious people live in slavery today. They do. They're bound and enslaved by the rudiments of this world. They're enslaved to the things and the thoughts of this life. That's what rudiments means, the philosophies of man. That's where most of Christianity, I'm not talking about the world. The world has no thought of God anyways. I'm talking about God's precious people. and where their minds are and where their thoughts are and really what's captivating their hearts. It's not the things of God. They're enslaved, just like all of those Hebrew children. They were enslaved to those Egyptians. But there was a mother that saw an ark. She didn't care where everybody else was going. She didn't care what everybody else was doing. She knew that there was an ark. She knew that there was a calling. She knew that there was something so much greater than anything this world could throw at her. And the Word of God told her to lay him up in an ark. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to be a people that's getting ready to be drawn out of water. How about you? I want to be a people that's getting to be ready to be drawn right out of this world. Oh, yeah. But before that's ever going to happen, I have to be willing to be drawn out of the camp. What do you think of that, huh? Oh, camp's a comfortable place. Oh, camp's got all the amenities. Man, everybody's hanging over there. But there's a calling going on right now. Come unto me. You come unto the Lord from out from among the camp. And she is the readied wife. I couldn't say it without ending it with this. She has overcome, and she abides for liftoff in the ark. Her heart, her children are all committed to the ark, and they're readied for liftoff out of this world at any moment. Godly moms, stand with stand, and having done all, stand. Let the countenance of the Lord shine upon you. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, encourage hearts here today to make the move. Lord, encourage these moms that might be a little weary this morning. You're pleasing the Lord. Continue to bring your children into the meeting. Continue to bring the word into your home. And continue to take from the cup of salvation and drink. Let it and it alone be your strength. Let it be your guide. Let it be that lamp unto your feet. It will not fail you. And let me tell you something. I'm coming soon. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. And in your wonderful name we pray. Amen.